silence. I had a so-called poop engineer training. Then I met with some other friends, and they said, we don't know why you're still a sergeant in the army running around like you are, and we are looking for trained people. And suddenly I received a call from the commander, or battalion commander, that I was supposed to report to him. And he had a top secret letter assigning me to Peter Munda. He didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what it was. So.
Did you ask for you or
no, never found out. Yeah, it was a military assignment because we were all put together in the so-called Fazuz Commando North, which was one of Dornberger's brain charge. I don't know. Apparently, they drafted too many people out of Peenemünde, and so he arranged some kind of setup where all our military papers were transferred to Peenemünde and where books were put together there so that nobody had really a chance to get hold of it. Okay, the first thing I started out, I started back in tool and die design for a couple of weeks until I met with Albert Turnberg again, and he said, I'm looking for a good test engineer. And within a couple of days, I got a new assignment and went over there and started development of power plants, which turned out the deviation from that power plant, which was already installed or planned for the future. We continued that till a new order came out of everything which was not ready to be installed within the school within 3 months would be cut down and dissolved and finished. That was when I got my new assignment to help with the full training. As a sergeant in the German army and having trained some soldiers before, they thought that was a good idea. But very soon after I entered that field, Walter Reeder, or Reeder 2, had an accident and died in that accident. And that was another change in the event, and I was made the head of the troop training.
How long was troop training?
That troop training was actually completely different than you know it here, because we still ran it through with the final development of the V2. So they had planned some T-shaped building with all kinds of nice things and cutaways, and we even had a complete power plant which we could put under power and operate in the building or inside the building. And then I just had to start from scratch because I didn't know how far they were with certain things. Most of the cutaways were not available, not even the tables to put out the exhibitions were ready. So I really had to start from scratch and do all those things. And I was pretty close with him. He did the cutaways. By the way, if you ever saw this V2 picture hanging in there.
Yeah.
That was the one which the army delivered back to me. It came back from Washington, and it still has the coordinates on where they captured it, you know. But at one time I was sent to Washington by Dr. Reed. That's the one, yeah.
And actually had
it in even the linen, dumped linen I had to organize, and that whole thing was handmade with the exception of the big what you call it thing, you know, and who really lost it, I don't know. But I thought that those arms was for the best 20 years.
Good training,
No, actually, that was done by the Department of the Army. The only thing was that I was still operating out of the Research and Development Festival. And these are the ones that where I got my money and all the other things. Right? And you can imagine that they were too eager to tell me how much money I could spend. Every time I went, they said, again, more money, nothing but money. We never see anything, you don't do nothing for us. You just spend the money. So that went on up to the attack on Trinamanda on the 18th of August in 43, 17th, 18th August, yeah. And I was out at Trinamanda, had my last lecture ending around 7 o'clock, and had made already up my mind and told my wife that I would stay out there. But for some reasons, I just changed my mind. One of those things again. And caught the last train, 15 minutes after 7, left everything in that train or in that meeting room because it was under guard and locked and everything. And that was still good night. Normally, I was back again at the village of Kozo, where we lived at that time, more or less. As a soldier, I was supposed to stay at the synodic, where my quarter was. Yeah. No, there were seven families in this, the Rustum and the North, with roughly 4,500 to 5,000 soldiers total. And all companies are run by with more than 20 years of army service, and they were called company commanders. Then we had one major who was in charge of all the companies and one first lieutenant. They were all the officers they had. So actually, we were supposed to be military, but our civilian pay were housed in army barracks, that means six families there in the camp in Krasnaya. And our company, the third company, was stationed at motels and hotels in Vinovich.
Did
Mr. Bobby Ray,
did
you
know
about the effect of
operations
in Vinovich? Yeah, because I started out, I went again out on my own and stopped the car of a general which was coming in from Berlin and went with him as a sergeant, the same car. He was quite amazed that I stopped the car with a general flag, you know. I said, I know you're going to the same place I'm going. He said, General Dornberger. He said, okay, come in. So when we arrived, Dr. Schilling, who was in charge of the festivism at that time, said, you are my special assistant. But that was only for 15 minutes, and if I'm wrong here, he said, Martin, he said, he's my specialist. He said, I need somebody who can organize, and so within no time, I had a new job again. So, and it's actually my job was to first transport people in and out of Trinamanda, because most of the that camp was bombed. So they moved all the soldiers out. So I had to go out during the daytime and pick the places where they found new quarters and arrange for them to come back in. Then I had to set up work and clean in the afternoon with the stuff back in work into operation in the test tent. So that lasted for 4 weeks. Before that was over, I was back in civilian clothes because I can imagine that I wasn't the best of soldiers, you know, at least not under those conditions, you know. It was quite often, so at one time I came back and said, I had it, I said, you can do your own thing. And then I got a special permit, and I never wore civil uniform after that. No, I was had a special permit from, I would say, end of August and January of 44 when we all were dismissed.
Well, now, what did the last month?
I left Kinemünde first after it was decided that Kinemünde or that it move out of me. I was got another assignment again to be within the central location school. At Kinemünde. So I was in the group which collected things and made plans what could go where, and then I kept plans of which railroad cars it went in. And then before all the stuff left, I went by road. There was a small group going with some army vehicles to the Hartmann. Oh yeah, we had a nice big name. I forget what it was. Special Project Jones, so with special paper signed by Himmler.
By Himmler.
Yeah. No, they did that. They tried that before, but it didn't work too good. Because I told them that if I wanted to fight in the German army anymore, I wouldn't go to fight in civilian clothes. Because there was one thing I hated about the Poles, you know. Because if you fight, you should know with whom you fight. My personal opinion, I mean. The Russians were broken through. They had covered the, or had captured the railroad going from Leipzig, I guess, to Berlin. So there was no direct connection anymore. They moved around this point. There were still some things, but the main railroad was already disconnected. How big, nobody really knows, because I hadn't seen any letters from home, and they hadn't received anything since then.
You know what they
Yeah, see, before I left that Saturday, I blew my V2 up, which I had standing out of chest and tank, and I blew certain things up in the leftover of that training building. And I guess if I wouldn't have left that Sunday, they might have gotten after me where I got the ammunition from, you know, to blow things up. But it was done officially, only out of your connections, you know.
Were you near the end of the operation between the house calls?
No, I went one time back again.
Were the main people left and you went back?
Most of them.
They were still left?
No, when I went the first time.
No,
see, because this road track went out, what the leader was with it? Peter and Wild.
Well,
when the second time you went back to Canada, how much later? Was it very close to the end? Must have been mid of March or so, because everybody said I was crazy.
Why did you go back?
I wanted to pick up some barracks, which we had left. And
you went down to Hartmann, right below the mountain.
Yeah.
And you went from back up, by car?
No, by train.
By train. The train line is still open.
But it was already going by coal or anything you could
what
get.
What was going on at 10 when you got back
there? There, where it was taken over by FM.
FM from the whole thing? Was from Brownsville there?
No.
They'd all gone.
They all had gone.
What was the FM for?
They kept that place, defended it, or whatever they wanted to do, I don't know.
Was there any left in time?
No, that wasn't too much to begin with, you know. Because the test, and we had a chance to begin, but well, that was apparently all we could do.
And how about now? Were there any V2s left there? Or?
No, we didn't have too many V2s there to begin with.
Was there any at all
that
the Russians took
out? No, I guess most of them. You know, what was in mass production? Well, mess up a production that I saw that was already stored in France and Belgium and Netherlands. Hopefully the Nordhausen and Reicherode was the command post.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hüder and his shop, because Hüder was in charge of the tech shop and so on, was all spread out all over those small little villages. And this is where I came in again, because I knew what arrived in Nordhausen from Peenemünde. And once in a while I had to search, you know, and have to get things rearranged. And, but normally I could tell the railroad feeder where what to go, you know. If you could call it that. Yeah. We didn't know where we could really start working, because see, I had to go out and go to all these little hot villages and find out if they had a dance hall or something, you know. Oh yeah, the train came later. And see, at the end, the next ship was rolling. Nobody knows what happened. Some people said, did you ever eat anything? I said, I didn't want anything. I was glad when I got rid of it.
Did you
make
any contact?
Yeah, I went there and tried to find out if there was anything, because even if you had a ballroom or something like that, or a meeting room, I needed quarters and I needed some cooking facilities. So we had to feed the people. So there were more than one thing, you know, to before you could say, I have a place where we can move some 10 or 20 people. But all that was much too late, so I guess it really was a waste of time, money and effort.
What was
really there
that
the Russians had? They didn't get too much. The test then, most of the stuff which we needed was transported out. Yeah. The documents were out. I had quite a load of, I had my whole training file with me in Nordhausen, which I had to get rid of too. But after the bombing raid at the Nordhausen.
Did you have a bombing raid at home?
The house.
What did they bomb?
Everything.
And you're on the ground.
That was like all the underground factories, but Nordhausen was called the SS city. That was where the SS had their headquarters. I'm going to a level at that time.
Did they hurt your operation?
Yeah, that was the end of the line.
Yeah.
That was East Amanda. So I had to find my way for all the rubber, you know, get down to the station. There was all my guns in perfect space. So I moved it out, and the policeman, I lost my keys in that bombing raid, because the room I had in Nordhausen was bombed out. I looked like one of those policemen, you know. Lost dirty. But I <That's> amazing. So I had the boxes and threw them against the walls, which were still standing, and broke everything, you know, and then threw them in. So a policeman came by and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't you see?" I said, "I'm feeding the fire." He said, "Doing what?" I said, "Burning confidential and top secret documents." He said, "Why do you burn them?" I said, "You want to be shut?" I said, "Hand them over to you." It's the only way to get rid of them, you know. And that week, I guess the whole thing brought together because after that bombing raid, the effects came and took most of the people out. But I, again, was a little bit ahead of schedule. I was out of town. Because I decided, since I had seen so many cities bombed, that I predicted that they would be back. Which they sure were. But I was already outside in a little village, so when I came back the next day, they suspended operation of the underground factory. But their people got the order to stay. I didn't have any buses anymore. I couldn't find anybody, so I decided to go do my own thing, you know. And I, sure enough, just through the line, through the British, the American, and the Russian lines, and got back home to Hanover before they ever closed down again for... I arrived around 6 o'clock in the morning, and by noon the American tanks moved in that little village I had my family. You know, you can write a whole book about that. But I had my family in that same truck I went. And we had a baby. 44. October 44. I don't know if you remember Harper. I don't know if you remember my son Harper. He's 26 now. Yeah. My first contact with Americans was completely private. Because nobody knew where I came from. Because when I brought my family to the village where my wife's mother was raised, there was still that Nazi building, in fact. And he wrote down that I was the head of the household, and he wrote behind my name that I was going to go. So I was going away again. So after I beat the American tank by 6 hours, he just erased it and Alan was living there again. I never was young, officially. Officially, I still was living in that village. Not too long, because I knew where Dr. Schilling's wife was. Because I knew Dr. Schilling's parents. They lived in Mrs. Schilling's parents. They lived in Hanover, too. And so I got them together. And then he learned from his wife where I was. So he wrote a letter to my parents' address and said, "You better hurry up and come before he comes and gets you." No. That was all after everything was over. I was actually captured in the Hot Mountains again, because that's where I went back. No one really. Because I saw Van Braun coming down the street and he said, "Hey, Heinrich," he said, "Where have you been?"
Where was it?
That was just before we transferred out of the Hot Mountains to Castle and
so. You have never come out?
Like all of you.
And from there, you said, "What are you up to?"
He said, "Okay, you know the house moms like your pocket anyhow." He said he had 20 cups. He said, "Go and collect all the people." He said, "You know better where they are hiding than I do." So I was right back in the old operation, doing what I did before, organizing things. No, that was after the war was over. I went back again. That's what I said a few times, retract things. Because Dr. Schilling told me that they knew roughly where I was, and they were looking actually for people which they didn't get. And so they said, what happened to that guy? Because they didn't know if I died in that bombing raid or not, because I wasn't there when they maybe looked the second time. And my CSP was on another mission, because I had just that night and the next day, and then we moved already out. So, and we got back assigned to railroad cars, you know, where we had our junkies. But I was lucky, since I went back to the Hartmanns with a bicycle, I was mobile. So I didn't stay too long in Witzenhausen either before I was gone again.
How long did you stay?
Altogether up to the 1st of October.
Well, you have now who interrogated you?
Not at all, because, you know, to interrogate me, you know, you have to be very careful, you know, that I just want to ask people. So, most of the time, that didn't go too good, you know. I first refused, you know, giving them the answer. Then they got extra. It was a translation of the peace treaty, you know, before I ever said anything. And then I found out they knew everything. I said, why in the devil didn't you tell in the first place? I said, I would have said yes to everything, because they had my whole fire. Yeah.
You don't remember who they were.
It was, I guess, amazing.
Favor,
I forgot. Because, you know, most of the interrogations were done before. And I really don't know if he was for one purpose there or not. And he got a few nasty answers too, which he didn't like.
Do you know what kind of questions he got
from that? He asked me if I did anything against Hitler and why I didn't tell him. So I looked at him and I said, I just don't like your uniform. I said, neither do I like the president. I said, what do? I said, go back and kill the president. He looked at me and said, the same crazy thing I said before at me. I said, I was born and raised here. I said, and it's not all the time that was your life. I said, that's what makes sense, what you can do. I wasn't a Gallatin, that's really true. But I didn't come again before 53.
Yeah, have you went to Africa?
That's really good. See, I didn't start here until 53.
You stayed in Germany.
Yeah, because, again, I wanted to take my family, which they didn't want to. So I again made the shortcut, and I said, okay, these are all on them. So I stayed.
August.
With W.A. He was August in Germany, and then when he came over here, he took his middle admission, and that's why we both came out. He's Heinrich August, and I'm Heinrich August, and he's William August. Mm-hmm. After he switched. So that's William, sir, definitely. But I guess I have even a picture where he was in. It's hanging in this thing, from Brown Room.
Oh.
That's where I delivered it. I guess he was on it. Yeah, really searching, nervous. I might have a picture here, but I really have to go and do it.
Well, we're
going to
get pictures by the way and come back.
One, two, one, bop, bop. Interview with Colonel Miller on 13th May 1971, Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay, we're live.
Yeah. Thank you.